All life is like this. All life is a trade-off. Just a field of gray. There's no black or white.
Michael Hayden says that's something that college students, if they want to be tomorrow's leaders, need to know. Hayden helmed the NSA from 1999 to 2005 and the CIA from 2006 to 2009. Today he includes among his responsibilities teaching at George Mason University. Hayden shared much of his educational philosophy before a lecture at Mercer University in Macon, Georgia.
Fundamentally, what I'm going to suggest is all the things we thought were permanent aren't. But the borders in the Middle East, how about even the borders in Europe, seem to be changing before our eyes. We've got a national security establishment designed to protect us against malevolent state power. That's not our problem. We're being attacked by sub-state actors and groups. And so future leaders are going to find themselves in an environment in which they're going to have to create new structures, new solutions. I mean, look, there was never a rule book. There was never, you know, fold tab A into slot B for international relations. But to the degree there used to be any predictability, any formulaic response, that's not there anymore. You know, we Americans are very pragmatic, and that's actually a good thing. We're highly respected for that globally. But we go into a problem set and very often say, what's the problem here? When in reality, the better question, and it's really the better question now, is what's the story here? What got us to where we are? So that, for example, we're talking about preserving Syria, for example. Really? Is Syria what it's all about? Is Syria this unchangeable, immutable set of lines on the map? If you know history long enough, you realize Syria is fairly new, at least in its current form. And it wasn't created by Syrians. It was created by Europeans. And so just a deeper appreciation. Another one, we talk about Iraq. Actually, in my public speeches, I talk about the country formerly known as Iraq, because I don't think it's coming back together again. And I recommend to audiences, you want to look at a map of the patch of earth we call Iraq? Get a map that's more than 100 years old.
Siri,
I'm
was
not sure how
out.
That. Yeah, I don't. Was like, I don't usually get cued by Siri that way. I'm very sorry.
No, it's okay. Siri was going for the assist.
Yeah. Education broadens your perspective. It doesn't. You know, you don't get lightning bolts of wisdom injected into you, but you do get a better sense of history, and it broadens your solution set. Yeah, you know how to, you need to know how to write. You need to know how to master your own native language. You need to have some basic mastery of facts, whether they're historical or geographic or trigonometric or algebraic. You do need to have fundamentals. So you got to be who you are. And so one of the things I would strongly recommend is master yourself as an American. Know your own heritage, know your own values, know your own political history, and then bring that with a totally open mind to the international community. I mean, what you have to offer that community is what it is you've gained from your homeland. I used to talk to my station chiefs as in their last week or two before we sent them off to the rest of the world. And I said, look, when you're meeting with liaison, that's our word for our partners, all right? When you're meeting with liaison, I want you to remember two things. Number one, you're the only superpower in the room. Number two, don't act like it. They know the first. They're checking on the second. And I think that's pretty good advice for most Americans working overseas. I come from the American espionage community. I think secret espionage is just not compatible with our democracy. It's essential to our democracy. What I tell my students when I teach up north at George Mason is that scared people don't make good Democrats or Republicans, small d in both cases, all right? In other words, people need some degree of safety. Otherwise, they begin to gnaw on their own liberties, on their own civil liberties, right? And so espionage is essential. Espionage is best served by being secret. It's an enterprise that's based upon secrecy. So now the big question becomes, how can we continue to do espionage, which I think I've just justified, in a broader political culture that every day demands more transparency and more public accountability from every aspect of national life? And so that's the conversation we're having with ourselves now. It can be about targeted killings and how much transparency and renditions and detentions, Guantanamo, surveillance, Edward Snowden, Glenn Greenwald, the list goes on. But fundamentally, The issue is this. How much do I have to tell the American people of what it is my community is doing for me to have confidence that I have their sanction, that I have their validation? And we're arguing with ourselves about that right now. And so what's the balance point? The phrase we use commonly is we need more transparency. I had a wise fellow I worked with a lot tell me transparency is not the right word. Translucent is what we need to be. And if you think of the distinction, it's actually pretty good. Transparent, you can get to the fine print detail. Translucent, you get to see the broad shapes and broad movements going on, which might be enough that most of our countrymen go, yeah, I'm kind of okay with that. In other words, we've got their approval. But not so much is put out there, as you suggest, that it's not worth doing at all. CIA, I actually told one of my successors, Dave Petraeus, I said, David, you realize that CIA now looks more like OSS, that World War II direct action thing. CIA looks more like OSS right now than it has at any other time in its history. Then I went on to say, and that's a good thing, David. America is safer for it, and I actually contributed to it. And Leon Panetta did too, and George Tenet. But David, you got to remember, it's not OSS. It's the nation's global espionage service. And so you're going to have to struggle every day the way I did to remind not just the institution, but to remind yourself that you've got this other stuff you've got to tend to. But fundamentally, the pull, the gravitational pull of the here and now, the present tense, the operational, the immediate, the urgent, sucks a lot of the other air out of the room. And so I do think, on balance, that our security services, CIA, NSA, and others, need to continue to work very hard to make sure they have that broader field of view rather than the narrow one that would be defined by the immediate danger. All life is like this. All life is a trade-off. I just finished a book, and in it, what I try to describe is this is just a field of gray. There's no black or white. It's all shades of gray. And even when you know you got to go do A, you know you're going to pay a price in B, C, D, E, and F before too long. You know that. But that's, you know, that's what adult people and adult nations ought to do. And if I could be allowed a political comment here, that's not the tenor of the debates in either party right now. This is oversimplified and dumbed down, and people are running away from what are these very nuanced choices that real people have to make in real situations. So that's a lesson I happily tell these students. It's never going to be easy. You're always going to be trading.
Okay, so the takeaway here for these guys is be prepared for a life of navigating gray to the best of your ability.
That's right. And to have a compass, back to what I said about their education, all right? An ethical compass, an historic compass, a fact-based compass, yeah.
Okay, well, cool.
Thanks.
Thank you very much for your time, sir. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks.
And good luck with the presentation tonight. Yeah, good.
Let me say what Siri was trying to tell me here now.
Siri was really jumping in.
Yeah.
Good luck with the visa, too.
That was great.
Yeah, it was great.